Good evening. I would like to call to order our special meeting here in open session Monday, September 18, 2006 in McDaniels Auditorium. First item on our agenda is the approval of minutes dated August 28, 2006.
I move to approve the minutes.
We have a motion. We have a second by Ms. Robarts for the motion for the minutes. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes pass, 7-0. Second item on our agenda is public appearances, and there are no public appearances. Third item on our agenda is announcements, and there are no announcements. Fourth item is Equity Task Force Interim Report regarding the development of an equity policy, and I'll turn the meeting over to the superintendent.
Okay. As you recall, the board created a task force to look at our equity policy, gave that task force certain charges. Tonight is their interim report prior to going out to receive community feedback. Jack Jorgensen, who is our staff member who is facilitating the task force, as you know, Jack is the executive director of educational services. Jack and Mary Ramberg facilitated the task force last year. Mary is retired. I don't think the task force forced her to retire. I think she was going anyway. But now Jack and Kathy Lingus are now working with the task force. So I'll turn it over to Jack for their interim report.
Right. Thank you. I was asked by the task force to highlight for you the key features of the interim plan, which you received last week. So, before I begin, I wanted to recognize, again, the membership of the task force. As you know, there were three adult participants and one student rep from each of the four high school attendance areas. You'll notice that we have, there were a few student members who graduated this past year and dropped off the committee, and we also were able to welcome to the task force a couple of new student members who took their place. So they're noted up there. And as Art said, Mary Ramberg and I co-chaired the task force up until the time that Mary left, and Kathy Lingus graciously agreed to step in and assist with the remaining meetings that we had. I want to introduce, these are the folks who are joining me tonight, members of the task force. In particular, I want to recognize T.J. Mertz, Lisa Cuevas, and Krista Brun, who are going to field questions from the board afterwards. If you have questions directly of the task force, they were selected by the task force to be the primary spokespersons. And certainly other task force members can add to any of the information that you're asking for tonight. Just to kind of set the stage for the information that I'm going to be sharing with you, again, the charge of our group was to define equity, provide a statement of the district's commitment to equity, and lastly, to forward to you possible guidelines for implementation of an equity policy. When I reflected back on the work of this group, I think it's safe to say we went through those stages of coming together and norming as a group, and certainly those first few months I would characterize as kind of the storming stage for us, getting to know one another, kind of getting out on the table our respective interests, concerns that the individual members had relative to this whole subject of equity, and then really kind of engaging in what I would characterize as a dynamic process of discussion, debate, and consensus building. And the good thing is that although we had, I think, some challenging meetings and discussions, this group really needs to be commended for coming together and norming around some decisions in response to your charge that I think represents their collective best effort, and they should feel very proud of that. The process, in addition to giving us a clear charge statement, you also gave us some guidelines for process, and those are listed there. The first thing that we did was to kind of immerse the group in the current policy and any related documents, including the equity resource allocation process that were available in the district. The task force also examined a variety of different equity policies from other school districts, including some of the districts that are represented in the Minority Student Achievement Network, as well as other districts. And they also looked at the Department of Public Instruction's equity policy. As you know, we will be soliciting input from the community and from the board after tonight's meeting, and we'll be asking for some guidance and direction with that particular process step. We defined equity for the purposes of establishing a policy. And once we get through the stage of gathering input from the community, we will be forwarding that information on to legal counsel, and then it will come back to us for final consideration, and then we'll come back to you with our final recommendations and our guidelines. The interim report that you received has four major parts to it. The first is the guiding principles, definition of equity, recommended strategies for implementation of the equity policy, and lastly, proposed strategies for evaluating the district's equity efforts. The first charge of our work was to really establish some guiding principles, which the task force felt were really kind of the foundation for creating a definition and for recommended strategies for implementation and evaluation. And as we developed these guiding principles, we looked at the district's strategic plan, the priorities and the values and beliefs that are inherent in that plan, and hopefully these guiding principles align well with that. As you will see, there are statements around schools will be excellent only when students of all demographic groups are achieving at high levels. One of the important principles we arrived at was that to achieve equity requires an unequal distribution of resources and services. We talked about the need to eliminate gaps in access and achievement by recognizing and addressing historic and contemporary inequalities in society, recognizing and eliminating inequitable policies and practices within the district, making sure that all schools will be equally desirable both to families and to students, and lastly, acknowledging that district and building leadership are critical factors to achieving equity. In arriving at a definition of equity, it was important for the group to grapple with this notion that equity and equal are not the same. And it took us a while to get there, but we did get there, and as a result of that discussion and that realization, we were able to move ahead and develop the definition that is before you. Just to highlight concepts of full access, educational excellence, and social responsibility as key tenets of that definition. The task force then went on to develop implementation strategies. And those strategies are listed in no particular order of importance. Some of the major themes that you'll notice as you go through and look at the strategies are themes such as adequate funding and the distribution of resources based on student needs, fostering high student expectations, and access to rigorous curriculum and instruction, regardless of the diversity of the student grouping. Also, providing teachers with the necessary resources and professional development opportunities to address the diversity of our learners. And lastly, creating a welcoming school climate that really values and engages all students, families, and the community. The task force then talked about, well, how will the district evaluate its efforts to achieve equity? And you'll also notice in the report that we've listed some strategies that speak to that. Those statements include evidence of a commitment of resources, ensuring that we are meeting every single student's needs and looking for evidence of that, looking for student results that would speak to the notion of equity. And lastly, student and staff reporting on the success of our implementing these strategies and ensuring that all students are achieving an equitable educational experience. So that recaps the key features of the interim report. What our task force would like to know from you, and certainly inviting you to dialogue with the members that are here and ask questions of them, but before we move forward with the remainder of our work, we would like to know, does the task force's definition of equity meet the Board of Education's needs? Does the interim report adequately describe the district's commitment to equity, guidelines for implementation, and also strategies for evaluating the outcomes of our equity efforts? And lastly, knowing that you will be providing opportunities for the public to provide input prior to adoption of this report, what would you like the task force to do with regard to soliciting community input? So with that, I would invite you to ask questions or provide any kind of feedback or comments to myself or the members that are here tonight.
Could you have the committee members introduce themselves, please?
You bet.
I'm Glenn Parks.
I'm Jackie Woodruff.
TJ Mertz.
I'm Lisa Cuevas.
Krista Brun.
Wendy Sobe.
Dave Cohen.
Kathy Lingus.
That's what it is.
Those microphones are always on.
Ms. Robarts?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not either.
The wrong way here. Just... First, okay. Thank you for long, long, long years and months of work. One of my first questions is back to the process. One of the first things that you did was to review our current policy in our resource allocation process. Current policy has some curriculum requirements, like the board has to review every year the school improvement plan and make adoptions. It also has some very different ways of allocating staff than the equity resource allocation process. And I was wondering what happened in that review, if somebody could sum up for me. What did you make of our current policy and what happened in that review and what's the connection between that and what you've reported so far?
I'll take that to begin with and say that that was our first meeting when we reviewed that, and most of us were relatively overwhelmed. We got binders full of allocation figures, descriptions of the equity policy, a little bit of history of it, and in some ways I think that we retreated from that. Speaking for myself, that we retreated and went towards defining equity and then building from there. Does that adequately describe?
I would agree that it was an overwhelming process, and the way I think we looked at it is
it isn't necessarily our job to become experts on the current policy, but rather to step back and say, you know, what are the important things to consider when looking at equity?
Let me just embellish upon what's been said. When Mary and I began to move towards our first task, which was to define equity, we had already spent some time familiarizing the group with the board policy on equity and the equity resource formula, and recognizing that the two were a mismatch, that the board policy and the way in which the equity resource formula was distributing resources didn't really align with each other. It was our belief, and Mary and I spent a lot of time talking about this, and I know that Carol came and also spoke to the group, that it was not our charge to delve deeply into the various resource formulas and to tell you how they should be changed or modified, but rather to provide kind of an overarching definition and recommendations for implementation and evaluation that would then guide administration and the board in looking at the various formulas and how those were being used and did they align or didn't align with the policy.
Could I ask a follow-up question then?
Sure.
Do the recommendations or guidelines that you've presented so far have any impact on those? I mean, do they fit with them, not fit with them?
I'll try again to start. And after you ask that question, I think it would be worth our time now that we've immersed ourselves in a lot of this to go back and look at those materials we looked at the first meeting again, and after we'd done that, we could probably answer that question better to see how they fit. We haven't looked at those materials in some time.
I, as one of the co-chairs, I would like to know from the board if, in fact, that's your wish to have us now examine the various allocation formulas, knowing there are many, and to move into that discussion of whether those formulas align or don't align.
Ms. Kubza and Ms. Severa, did you have a question related to that, or did you? Okay. Did you want to respond? Okay. After you get done, then, Ms. Severa.
I think, at least it was my anticipation, that we were going to have something that came back specifically on our equity policy. I mean, in my view, the equity policy exists. It continues to exist. It hasn't been enforced by the district or the administration, but it exists. And frankly, I think there's a lot of good things in our current equity policy. And that is different than the allocation formulas. My preference, not having done all the work you guys have done on the equity task force, but my preference really is much more towards what's in the equity policy that we have. And I don't think our formulas really address those issues. And so from my perspective, I would like to see the task force go back and look at our equity policy and let us know whether that's consistent. And so maybe later on in the meeting, if we're looking to give direction, I could make a motion or someone could make a motion to direct the task force to do that.
Ms. Severa, then. Ms. Mathak.
Are you continuing
that? Yeah. Thank you for yielding the floor. I feel like I'm in the Senate. I guess my question is, we tend to get tangled up in the policy versus formula. Is it possible for this group to examine what it would mean to fully implement the policy, setting aside the formulas what would full implementation of the current policy mean? And because I think that that's something I have not heard discussed in all of the times I've heard the equity formula discussed. And it's to me, it's not enough to say, well, there are these formulas, because the formulas clearly don't work. So what would it take to do what it says in that policy? And to me, that would be much more fruitful. That's just a comment.
I have a question, Lucy. When you're talking about policy, are you talking about the one that they have developed, or are you talking about the past policy?
From what I've seen, they've developed a very good definition, and they've come up with a very nice list of things that might be done, but I don't believe you've offered an alternative policy in your document, have you?
The plan was to forward this to legal counsel to take the work that we put together and create a draft policy from that input. So our hope is, once we've solicited community input to what we have in our interim plan, handed that over to legal counsel, it would come back more in the form of an equity policy.
Okay, here's what's troubling me about this. It seems to me that we do know that the equity formulas don't work. Nobody has demonstrated that the equity policy doesn't work. And I guess that as part of your process, I would like to consider that the policy may be a decent policy, but actually just needs some guidance in terms of implementation. And that's very, very different than, you know, and it's possible that by looking at what that policy outlines and whether the districts have achieved and what it would take to achieve it, you may discover that you don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There may be some things that are already there that are worth keeping and pursuing, rather than turning completely away from a policy that it sounds like there wasn't much review of. That, to me, that just is a little bit worrisome, in part because I, like Ms. Kubsa, think that the current policy actually has some good elements that I've been disappointed because, as far as I can tell, we really don't implement it. So it's my comment, seeing no policy that I could critique or not in what, and I understand why, I am indeed referring to the policy that is currently part of the board policy and has not been modified or rescinded by this board.
Ms. Avera.
First of all, I want to thank all of you for your tremendous amount of time and effort that you put into your meetings. I think you're here sometimes more often than we are here. At least every time we're here, we see equity task force meetings. So I personally appreciate all your effort, because I know it's taken a lot of time away from your personal lives. I had a couple of comments. First, I just wanted to address the definition of equity. Personally, I feel very comfortable with your definition, and I'm very happy to see someone put in writing that equity does not mean equal, because I think there is a confusion out there that to be equitable, you have to be equal. And I think that's where we run into a number of problems with people interpreting the way the district does things. And I think that's a very good point to make clear. I wanted to make a comment on the implementation strategies and maybe tie into what has been said. There's 17 implementation strategies. Many of them are currently being done in the district to varying degrees of success. And so I was struggling with then how you take this information, 17 very large pieces of information, large projects, large initiatives, and then turn them into a policy, or make them real. What would you do that's not being done now for a number of these things to make it different? Or would you continue just to work on a number of these initiatives the way they're currently being worked on in the district today? Have you had that discussion on?
Go ahead.
I think part of the confusion over, you know, what kinds of questions are here on the table is the, you know, the scope of our role as an equity task force. You know, what is our expertise and what is our, what is your expectation from us, which hopefully tonight will clarify, you know, what else you expect us to do and how far you expect us to go. This is how far we got, and it's always important when you're engaged with any other body to check in and say, you know, this is the track that we're on. How do things look so far? So that's one comment I'll make. You know, obviously, the point ultimately is to get to the point where we are implementing policy, not just talking about it, not just drafting plans about it, not just drafting policies. And who should be involved in that process is, I think, part of this and other discussions in terms of getting to that point where it's not just an abstract idea, but something that we are genuinely working on and being able to measure results on. You know, I don't know if that answers your question. I think we are obviously, so far we have a list of areas that we feel are important to get to equity. To what extent we're already doing that and how and whether that's effective, these are all questions that we would need to look at. And the question is, who would be involved in that conversation?
No, thank you for clarifying that. I guess we do have to remember it is an interim report. And that helped. I wasn't sure if you had taken the discussion further, but this is helpful unto itself to know where you're thinking. I appreciate that. Thanks.
So I want to add a little something to that, and that is that I think that, you know, you asked if you noted that the board is doing, the district is doing many of the things that we suggest. And every member of the task force sees the task force's role a little differently. But I think most of us see it as reinforcing the good things that we see going on that are building equity within the district and giving a little push where we don't see enough being done. And that combination, and giving both the board a push and then asking the board to push the staff a little bit in these areas.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. That's all I wanted to say.
If I could just add to that with giving a little push. For some of the areas, as you mentioned, that these are generally on the table, but I think the little push would relate to maybe areas where there's more training. I guess a big concern of ours has been that while you're right, I mean, these generally are not new, and the concepts are there, the ideas are there, but certainly I think many people would agree that we are not achieving the results that we like to see if they were being implemented to the extent that most people would desire. So I think a big part of our focus was on that yes, it's not as though these are new concepts, but obviously what we're doing to achieve, you know, the desired goal isn't sufficient at this point.
Thank you.
Ms. Carstensen, Ms. Robarts, and Ms. Mathak.
I want to add my own appreciation for all of the time and effort that you've put in, and I know it sounds like an easy task, but as you begin to deal with it, it is extraordinarily difficult. And I really appreciate the willingness of all of you to spend the time on this, because I think it will help us ultimately. I guess I feel very much that what you've done is exactly the task we asked you to do, that we did want a broader statement of the district's commitment to equity, and that from that will flow the more specifics that the kind of policy we currently have on the books is an example of. I don't think that really is, that's an implementation process, not really a commitment to equity. As I see the things you've done, you've really emphasized the importance of providing every child with the things that they need without robbing some other sets of kids. And I think that seems to go through all of the stuff that I, all of the written portions that I've looked at is that commitment that all kids need to make we need to make sure that, whatever they need to be successful is available, and that much of what I see where you're emphasizing what has to be done differently has to do with, in a way, intangible resources, the way in which people are treated, the expectations, that it is, it's not, I mean, you clearly say that resources need to be directed to needs, but there are also an awful lot of other things that need to be part of whatever we do, and I think that's important. I have a question for you, and part of it is, you know, it's all very well for us to finally adopt an equity policy and an implementation process, but somebody has to track the district, track the board. Have you given some thought to that?
I'll start again. The special assistant to the superintendent for race and equity, we see as being the point person on tracking. We've, in terms of how to measure success, we've gone back and forth as a task force, and one of the things that, as a task force, we've worked on consensus, and that was the most difficult place to achieve consensus on how to measure success. What we have in the interim report is much less specific than things we had developed earlier in the process that we couldn't achieve consensus on. One of the things that we've pointed to disaggregated data on a number of things, including achievement, student assignment. One of the things that I'm a big fan of is expanded school climate surveys to assess the climate and specifically ask equity-related questions. A couple districts around the country are doing it, mostly under court order. And I think that, you know, you talked about the intangibles, and that's one way to get at the intangibles. I would suggest if anyone's interested looking at what Champaign is doing, Champaign, Illinois, as being a real good guide on that. We also talked about, because of teacher and staff contracts, it's difficult to have evaluations done, equity part of those, but with administrators you can do that, and you can add equity issues to administrative evaluations, and we think leadership is very important. Another place that's being done in Boston, I think. But ideas like that, that go beyond looking at data.
And part of what we've done so far is to identify what, I don't think any of these are working, is to identify what we need to be looking at. You know, how do we get there? And then the question is, you know, well, how do you know you got there, and who's going to actually measure? And as TJ noted, we did actually at one point go through the exercise of trying to determine how you would actually measure any one of these things. And at the same time, we realized you probably have people in the district who are experts in assessment. Some of us have experience in that area. But again, that's another question, is how far should we as a task force go? Because often the task, the person who actually assesses what they're doing, you know, should be close to the actual task to be able to measure it effectively, or be able to add to the conversation on what should be measured and how. So I would add that. But this is sort of the guide initially of what are the kinds of things we need to be looking at. And I think the underlying current of our whole contribution to this equity policy is really to make that connection between what do we set out to do and did we do it. So as long as we are not achieving equity, we need to be thinking about why not, and taking the necessary steps to get there, so that we're taking on that, if you will, institutional responsibility, rather than finding a lot of reasons why we are actually not where we should be.
I want to say again that I appreciate the many hours and the many viewpoints that you've brought, and your willingness to continue doing work for us is even more to be commended. For me, there's nothing to criticize about your list of strategies, or whatever we want to call them, principles, priorities. Number three, distribute resources based on student needs is one of those where, you know, the devil is very much in the details. I mean, to be really frank, I think I voted not to have a task force go about this because I think distributing resources based on student needs is exactly our problem at a time when need is going up and resources are flat or failing us. And it's an extraordinarily difficult and very political kind of an issue. One of the materials that you read early on was an article out of, I think, the Phi Beta Kappan about a five-year transition done by the Cincinnati schools from a system not very much different from our allocation of resources to schools based on student needs to one that fairly substantially moved money from some schools to others based on student need over something like a five-year period. That gave me lots of hope because deep in my gut, I think that's where Madison is, and not you, but we as the school board need to figure out what's the best way to meet that challenge. If we're not going to have a lot more money and we're going to try to do all the things on your list, does that mean different kinds of actual allocations of resources? And I still do consider... Well, once upon a time, I think I met Lori Kubza because Ms. Kubza came to school board meetings with other parents from the East Side and pointed out that we do have, not a past policy, but a current policy on the books, never revised or removed by the school board, that has a proxy at best for distributing resources based on needs that used a formula. You know, if a particular school was X percentage more poverty in that school than other schools, resources would flow in different ways. That may not be the perfect way to do it, but it's a way that's on our books and has not been done for a number of years. So to some extent, I want to apologize for giving you a really, really, really difficult task, but I also want to ask you a couple of things about the next few steps, or things I hope you'll keep in mind. I think before the community can really comment, you may need to go back. I think you do need to go back to what's on the books here. Not the formula about how many poor people and how many single moms and, you know, all that detail. But that fundamental one that says two things. You know, we, the board, will adopt, evaluate the plan for that school every year. And when we see poverty levels that are, you know, outside of that formula, we will move resources. I think if... For me, I think for the community in particular, and for board, me as a board member to respond, it would just be really helpful to know how you see that current policy, what you might change, or, you know, what would be the difference moving away from the policy we have on our books to the list of goals that you've suggested here. Because there's a part of me that feels, as I listen to you, well, to say maybe it's only fair to say there wasn't consensus, maybe, or there wasn't much discussion on that kind of core issue. If you were in our footsteps, you know, if you were stuck in our shoes and you had to decide if you're going to continue to ignore or remove a policy that does redistribute some resources, how would you go about doing that, or what is there on your list of goals that would be different? My concern would be that I think we skip a fundamental and the most important question if we go to the community and say, how'd you like to have these goals reworded and put into our policy books, and they don't understand that the board is, in fact, moving away from a formula that's been in the policies for years to a much more general set of goals, and they don't have a chance in the process to give us advice, because ultimately you are not stuck with this decision. You are in the admirable position of being our community experts who can tell us whatever individually or consensually you want. It's going to be our responsibility to decide if our current policy is worth implementing because it moves in these directions, or you want us to go, or the community wants us to go ahead ignoring or taking off the books the current policy and replacing it with some general goals in this particular mechanism for tracking our own progress. So anyway, I talked for a long time. What I hope is before you go to the community, you will have time to have a discussion of what you think collectively of the current policy. So at least somebody could present to groups listening and participating in the difference between now and then. If we took everything you asked, you suggested just the way it is, what changes? I think people probably need to know that.
I think we could certainly, as a group, rather than any one of us saying what we would think we would change, but we could certainly raise that at our next meeting and go back and look at you know, what we're doing and how that relates to what is already on the books, as you suggested. And I don't think anyone would have a problem with that, but we can talk about it at our next
meeting. I recognize you're consensus-based, and you're not, you know, you can't sit here and consent, so, you know, if you tell me no later on, I'll understand that was consensus.
No, but that, okay. I mean, that's a valid point.
Street, and there was somebody from this was in London, and there was somebody from the Church of England there who commented that our purposes were noble, but they'd been campaigning against sin for a really long time, and they hadn't made much progress. Sometimes I feel like, just listening to this, you know, things I haven't thought about for years, like the success for all mantra, which friends of mine who were in the schools were ready to vomit if they heard it one more time. The things that concern me is that devil and the detail, and I really appreciate the thought and hard work that you all have put in, because there are sort of the principles, and then there are what do you do about it. And from a policy perspective, I think that's probably one of the most important questions, and one that you really have an opportunity to do some service, because the fact is you can give us a bunch of principles, but we all might have a different conclusion about what you do about it. And I have seen more than once a lovely principle put out there with an implementation where people are going, oh my God, that's not what we meant. That isn't what we had in mind. So I really think that I encourage you to put a little more flesh on the skeleton and again, you know, bearing in mind that, you know, there are a couple of options before you. You can write a completely new policy, or you can provide guidance for implementation of the current policy, or guidance for amending the current policy, whatever you see fit. But you know, do try to give us something more to go on. I know that even just we're talking about evidence that we're meeting every student's needs. What I consider to be evidence may not be what you consider to be evidence. And it's when we start talking about, you know, resources and what that means, and that we're meeting student needs and what that means, that we really get to the crux of what it means to actually put our time and our policies and our budget where our mouths are and have a real equity policy. So, you know, hang in there. Thank you for wanting to hang in there, and I'm looking forward to what you have to tell us the next time you come back.
I have a question. I was just wondering, should we consider this discussion to be somewhat of an amendment where necessary of our original charge? Is that appropriate, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the challenge. That's you know, that's here. And I've shared this conversation somewhat with the superintendent and with Mr. Jurgensen, Ms. Carstensen, several other people as well. And because I think that we put you in a position in terms of an interim report as a board, I don't believe we are where you are. I mean, you've studied this issue over and over again and again, and there, I believe there's several of us on the board who have studied it as well. And that would not include me, and I'm just being honest. That wouldn't include me. I don't know what to say in terms of an amendment at all or anything like that. I believe the board gave you a charge that was listed. Whether the board wants to deviate from that, I wish as a board we would discuss that amongst each other first before we came to you and said, hey, do this, do that, give you a list of 10 things to go back to. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to hear more from other members of the board, but I just feel that for us to fire questions at you or amend what we've written would be unfair to you. But that's just my opinion, and I believe other board members would probably have other opinions as well.
Sure, and I didn't mean to put anyone on the spot with that. I guess what I was thinking is that if that is the case, it might be very helpful to us if we did receive something in writing. If, you know, if you would prefer to amend, you know, our original charge, I don't think that that would be a problem for us. But it might be, you know, to get some guidance in writing might be very helpful.
Ms. Kubza, and I think Ms. Robarts had her hand up as well. Can we discuss what Ms. Cuevas is?
On that point.
I just want to make sure that Ms. Kubza.
Yeah, I mean, this topic was discussed when the original motion was brought before us, and there were a number of us who believe, and still I think to some extent believe, that our current equity policy provides a good framework for going forward, and that we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, and that instead improving on that would be the way to go. And so I think, you know, I can't remember everything. My memory's not that great, but I think that the feeling was that the charge that was given to the committee was broad enough to cover our different perspectives on this, and that the charge was not given to the task force that the equity policy will be thrown out and start from zero, which is why you were asked to look at it and the first step. So I don't believe you need a change to the task or the committee charge in order to do what we're asking.
I think we're also hearing a request that we be more specific, not only in terms of the allocation and defining needs, but generally more specific with our guidelines for implementation that were in the original task force. And that's something that, that as a task force, we've gone back and forth for where are we stepping over our line? Where do we stop giving guidelines and do we start micromanaging? And I think what Lisa was asking is for some clarification on that, preferably in writing, that would you, having seen what we've done to this point, would you like to see us being more specific in general? Or are the guidelines, with the exception of defining student needs, sufficient?
Can I just make a suggestion? And just in terms of, I'd like to really see the board take what you've given, and I've felt that way of all of our task forces. I believe anytime we give a task force, again, my opinion, is anytime we ask a task force to give information or give us feedback or advise, I believe we should hear that first. I mean, you know, again, and if I'm wrong, you know, I think, you know, that's how, in essence, we respect your time, your effort, and your energy to hear what you have to say first. Now, as a board, then we take that information, and we might shape it, think of some other things, and then the board has to make a decision. Do we give that back to you? You know, could you consider these issues? or say, well, this, thank you very much for your time, we appreciate it, and, you know, and see ya, you know. I mean, again, I think that's a board decision to make, but, you know, again, that's just my views. And again, I went up and saw some of your work in one meeting for sure, and then I peeked in on a few other ones. It's just incredible the time, effort, and energy that you put into this document so far. And again, I definitely want to thank you for this, because I think it's very important, and I think you've heard from board members how much we appreciate what you've done. And I do believe, though, that the board has to grapple with some of these issues. The elected officials have to take this, in essence, do something with it, and then also, if we do something with it, we have to oversee it as well and make sure that it happens. And I do believe that, you know, that's a board responsibility as well. So I know we have other people that would like to speak.
Can I make one comment?
Yes.
With respect to the charge, it was my understanding, and I'll speak for myself, I don't want to make assumptions for the whole group, that the, you know, we did look at the current policy, we did look at some resource allocations, and I think it was our understanding that the current policy, for whatever reason, is not working, and that part of our charge was to make recommendations for an equity policy, with the assumption that it would work. And not to criticize what's already there or what came before or why it's not being implemented. I don't believe that we were charged to, you know, have an assessment study of the current policy. My understanding was charged to sort of chart new waters. What if equity is our goal, what would it take to get there? And I think that's at some point after looking through what is and comparing to other districts and school systems, that is the path that we did take, was to say, you know, what are the elements of equity? What does it mean? And what are the things we as a school district would need to consider in order to achieve equity? I hope that's helpful. That was my understanding, and I don't know if anyone else from the task force would like to speak to that.
Okay.
In our defense also, it's really difficult to assess a policy that's never been implemented, which is what the current equity policy is.
Okay, but now we have board members, and now we've got the juices flowing here. Everybody wants to speak, so I just want to make sure that we get to everybody. Mr. Vang, Joe, Ms. Robarts, Ms. Silvera, Ms. Kubza, and Ms. Carstensen. And sorry, folks, but I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to say what they have to say. Mr.
Vang. Okay, thank you. First of all, I just want to thank everyone for your time and commitment. This process started way before the task force ever met, and I believe the board had numerous discussion about equity and also the implementation and the equity formula in particular. And like Ms. Robot said, the discussion occurred in board meetings and also at during campaign stops and people questioning. So, you know, it is a complex issue. What I like to think is that there is no disagreement on whether or not the district or the community seeks equity for every child, from gifted and talented to those who have special needs to those who just have English as second language classes. I don't think that there is any disagreement at all whether or not there's a commitment within the district. I think the disagreement may be on what each of us see as equity, because what I see is very differently than what Mr. Winston sees as equity, both equity being allocation of resources, where it should go, and where the priority of those resources should go. I appreciate the work that you have done and the definition on equity and some of the recommendations that or goals that the districts can try to reach. First, I just want to address those. Yeah, I personally, as a board member, I say, yeah, if you as a task force feels that you need to have public input, outside of board members and staff, I don't think there's any specific limitations during the charge that you cannot do that. I would like to have, you know, if you feel that you need to have public input from parents to teachers who work with the kids, please go ahead and do that. Unless four other board members say no, then I guess we can't. I also want to get from you, I know that I think the big chunk of discussion on or maybe disagreement or tension on the board was allocations and how do we divide those and which school gets more and how do we define needs. I would like to see from the task force maybe to go to touch a little bit on what do you see as needs and compare across the board. I would like to see also you're looking at the formula, allocation of resources, take a look at that and make some recommendations. Again, whether or not the board agrees and adopts that as part of the both of the policy and also the implementation allocation formula, I think that's after we receive that final report, I would like to have, you know, a discussion among board members and also with input from the public at that time and also from the task force. But, you know, again, I would like to give the task force the flexibility to look at this policy, to look at both implementation, to define needs, because the reason I think that the board went ahead and decided on the task force because we cannot agree on that. And so that's just my thought.
Joe, then Ms. Robarts, Ms. Rivera, Ms. Kubza, Ms. Carstensen, and I will turn this meeting over to Ms. Kubza.
Where's your list?
Okay, I'd like to thank you all once again. I've heard this quite a few times, but that doesn't decrease its merit. I think you guys have done a wonderful job of fulfilling the charge that was given to you. I wasn't here when that charge was actually given, but I think it's a you guys have done a great job. And I would encourage you to go farther with the charge and not feel as though it's micromanaging. I think the specifics, as Ms. Mathiak was touching on, the principles can be all there, but if the implementation and the specifics about the implementation are being disagreed upon, well, that's just as big of a problem as the principles. And I think we've heard a lot about the lack of implementation of the current policy and about evaluating the current policy, and I would encourage not just looking at ways to implement the new policy, but why the old policy isn't being implemented. I don't think anyone in the district is, you know, anti-equity. I don't think they're trying not to implement the policy, and I think if they were given the resources or the funding and stuff like that to implement it, they would. So I would encourage the task force to look at the lack of implementation currently and put that in the context of how the new policy or the revamping of the old policy could be implemented again.
Ms. Robarts?
In terms of whether we're asking to amend the charge or not, I think not. The list that Mr. Jorgensen read of seven things called process includes reviewing the current policy and the equity resource allocation process. It's the same list that says you can take testimony from us and, you know, go to the community and so forth. It may be that we were not very clear that if you reviewed it, we'd like to know what you thought of it. But as opposed to it was just, you know, required reading. You know, it sounds like the required reading in the first few weeks was, you know, the kind you get in a lot of classes that's, you know, you feel like it's designed to get you to drop that class and take something else, you know, because this one's got a lot of high math and formulaic pages. But the difference between, you know, it's the results of your review that I'm particularly interested in, and I think the community will be interested in if we're going to ask people to help us choose between continuing to ignore our policy, take it off the books totally, and go forward with something that you've described. People need to have some, I hope you'll be able to provide, you know, some consensual review or evaluation response to that. We really just need it, I think.
Ms. Silvera?
I was going to say some of the same. I was not here, sitting here, when you got your charge for your task force, so really don't know the specifics. But one thing that comes to mind is that I think you have tremendously strong guiding principles that you've developed. They're really very well thought out, and they're very, very good. And maybe taking those guiding principles and going back to the existing policy and evaluating it, as Ms. Robart said, you know, what can't we move forward? Why is this not working? What is working? I do think we need to do that and bring that back to the community and to the board and say, this is what's good, this is what's not good about the existing policy. And I think you have really good guidelines to do that. You know, I do think, from what I've heard, that you have followed your charge, and I think what you've done basically answers all the questions. I think that's what's been said is you have reviewed the policy, you just haven't reported on that, and so I think that's probably a good next step. I wanted to make one more comment about your implementation strategies. I think it's at that point. You know, once you've gone through and looking at the policy and the like, I think see if your implementation strategies still hold true, which I would guess the majority of them will. And then I think those, in my opinion, should come back to the board for more further discussion and refinement before you go out for public input. And we can have that type of discussion that we've had with some of the other task force issues up here, make sure we're all understanding what each of the statements mean. There are some statements here that we probably all have different interpretations of, so I think it's important that we all maybe go through each one of these, have the discussion that they're clear in our minds what we're looking for or what our expectations are before we go out to the public. And then I think it's probably a good time to do that.
And would you say we should approach them with like a five W's and how approach for each one of them? I'm just wondering, is that what you mean when you say?
Well, that's where I think our discussion, with the board is going to come in. I mean, you know, going out with 17 very, very broad-based implementation strategies, you basically covering everything almost that's done in the district, and people are going to say, yeah, that's very good, and I think, of course, this makes a lot of sense. So I think we either have to somehow prioritize them, fine-tune them, get better examples. And as I said with my first question tonight, I'm kind of struggling getting my hands around how we define these implementation strategies, so I'm sorry I don't have a concrete answer for you, because I'm playing with that in my mind. But
sure.
I think we need to bring it together a little bit before we go out and solicit public input. Otherwise, you're going to say, everyone wants everything.
We actually debated prioritizing them and even tried and then decided, you know what, let's stay where we are, talk to all of you, and then see what our next steps really should be. So I'm actually glad that we did it that way so that we could get your feedback and find out, you know, what you think our next steps, the most valuable next steps would be.
I think all this information in the interim report is tremendously helpful, and I can see using it moving forward. We just have to make sure that we're not abandoning some things that work or correcting some things that don't in the interim.
Ms. Kubza, followed by Ms. Carstensen, then Ms. Mathak.
I appreciate all the work that's gone into here, and I appreciate the guiding principles and the equity definition. I think you've done an excellent job of synthesizing all of that. The implementation strategies, when I look at that and I think about implementation to me doesn't mean broad kind of policy statements. I see these as very broad statements, not really steps on implementation. Distribute resources based on student needs. Sounds great, but it doesn't give the board much of anything on your thoughts on how you do that in a time of decreasing resources. And without that, I mean, that was really the thing I was hoping that I would get most from the task force, to be honest with you, is because there are many different school districts out there that are trying different things, and I presume you've all had articles on that and read and which ones work and which ones don't and what are the negatives and positives of different ones. And so to just say distribute resources based on student needs doesn't give me what I would think implementation strategies should include. And that's really the biggest one for me, is how to distribute resources, because that is something that is not micromanaging. That is what the board does. It's, you know, we manage our finances and distributing the resources. How do we do it in the way that promotes equity? And one of the reasons that I try to hold on to our current equity policy, which does exist and will continue to exist unless the board removes it, which we haven't done yet, is that that includes a process which is not a formula, which is not ideal, but says essentially, and Art can tell me if that's wrong, but essentially that the superintendent will look at schools that have higher than greater poverty and come up with or give some ideas on ways to promote equity and to encourage more equitable results. And it doesn't give anything magic as far as allocation formulas, but at least it's something that says, yes, we're going to target it, we're going to identify that it exists, and that we're going to talk about it and maybe even come up with a plan. And to me, although that's not a great implementation strategy, that really is at least something. And I don't feel that these 17, while these are great, and I would support them all as goals and, you know, as guiding principles, I don't see that it helps inform us on how to make decisions, you know, really when it gets down to the nitty-gritty.
That's very helpful. I'd like to add that one thing that I think is clear among our group, we have always come back to the realization that it is about resources and how to allocate them. But we've tried not to stop there, because in the end, you can allocate all you want, and unless you change the way you do what you do, we will never have equity. So I just would like to clarify that that is in the back of our mind. And, you know, if you want us to really be more specific, if we're able to do that, we can talk about it as a group and get your recommendations as well. Certainly, we can discuss that. But it's more than just, you know, how do you spend your $100?
Ms. Carstensen, then Ms. Mathak, and then what I'd like to do is, in essence, stop our conversation and just kind of discuss kind of our next steps. So, Ms. Carstensen.
And actually, this is a great lead into one of the points I was going to make, which is that we have tended to focus on dollar values of resources. And increasingly, at least as I look at the literature, they're talking not only about dollar issues, but quality. That you may be paying two people the same same amount to do some things, but one is a far better leader or far better teacher, and it's important that we find ways to ensure that our best teachers are serving the students who need them most. And that's not a dollar resource. I think that's the kind of thing that you're talking about. And I also want to say that I think that some of the things that other board members have asked for from you are extremely difficult and very contentious. And I know that even though as board members we have all been very committed to equity, there are each of us has a very different definition of what equity involves. And so there are things that some board members that we've had some division on, and if you look at it at the base, it's an issue of how you define equity. And we've skirted those. As board members, we haven't really talked about it that way. But I think that as you get a little bit more into the specifics, as Lucy said, the devil is in the detail. And how do you balance the needs of poverty and race and special education and talented and gifted in declining resources? Does somebody have to give something up? And if so, how do you determine that? Those are not pleasant discussions. And those are not ones that we as a board have been willing actually to have either. So I think we have to be careful what we ask you to do, because I'm fearful that when you come back with us to us with your best recommendations, we'll be a little aghast at what you're proposing. But I do think that there's some value in taking what you've done and then laying out the current policy against it and giving us some ideas of what you would see as implementation strategies for what you feel is really the best, and not try to conform to what you think we want you, what you think we want to hear from you. I think that this is really a case where you're becoming far more expert in this area than we are, and that we've asked you to do that. And I think you really do need to come back to us with your best advice. And then we can take it or not.
Ms. Mathak, with our last comments.
Ooh, I get to be a cleanup. I think this is all very, very helpful, even though if I were you, I'd be very frustrated having spent as much time as you clearly have spent working on the documents that you gave us, and now we're just saying, well, what about this, what about that? Alas, that is the nature of public service. Thanks for being good sports tonight. I want to say one more thing about why it would be a good idea to look not just at the current policy, but why it hasn't been implemented. Because it seems to me that if you don't know why it wasn't implemented, you're going to run into the same problems with some of your recommendations. You want to avoid the pitfalls. You want to assess for yourself whether the explanations you're hearing really resonate with the evidence you're seeing. That critical thinking process of saying, I still don't get it. I heard everything you said, but I still don't get why you didn't implement it. Or, oh, God, yeah, I never looked at it that way. But somewhere have that discussion, because I think that it can help everybody, especially your committee, to not spin its wheels if you know where the bodies are buried before you start out. You want to? Sorry, it's a lot of mixed metaphors. I haven't had enough caffeine between. I know, the little yet, But I really encourage you to do that, because I think and the questions about what is equity are not small ones. Because when I look at something as simple, and it's not, it is in the final say an economic issue, but it doesn't manifest that way. When I look at the years of seniority and the numbers of advanced degrees among teachers at the four high schools, they don't match. And I think that's something that, I don't know, maybe it doesn't matter, maybe it matters a lot, but it is one of those things where, you know, is there stability in the leadership of the school, or has the school had multiple principals in the last 10 years? Is there wisdom and experience among the teachers, you know, that there's a good number of senior teachers, or are you talking about a very, very young staff? What are the libraries like and the library staff? That was something we struggled with during the budget. But there are lots of things that don't necessarily show up as how many dollars for how many kids. It's what happens when they come in that door. Do they get what they need? And it's the whole thing. I don't think you can solve it, but you're very smart people. You've seen a lot. You have a lot of experience among you. And I think you could come up with some common sense things to say back to us that you think we need to think about if we're going to be serious about this. And again, thank you for listening tonight and for being such good sports.
I just want to, on behalf of the task force, thank the board for this opportunity we've had to serve and study and learn. And especially thank Jack and Kathy and Mary especially.
Well, don't say goodbye yet, because obviously we still got some more work to do. But one of the things, as I left a little earlier, I just looked at the calendar of what we have going. Our next meeting is next Monday. Your next meeting is October 3rd, I believe. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I... Yeah, it's Tuesday. It's a Tuesday instead of a Monday. Yeah.
No, we have next Tuesday.
Oh, it's next Tuesday?
So it's September 26th.
Actually, our calendar says that you have a meeting on the 25th on Monday. But that's neither here nor there.
Okay. Let me ask. Would you mind taking the week off next week? The reason why I say that is because I believe that, you know, you've come to the board, you've gotten some input, but I believe that the board needs to give you more direction and more succinct direction. If you want a list, we'll give you a list, but I believe as a board, we need to hear what you come with and the documents and look those things over and talk amongst ourselves about next steps and where we would like to go. And there is room on our calendar next week, next Monday, so we can discuss that. Go ahead.
And next Monday, you would discuss this at 8:30.
Okay.
There's a communications meeting at 5, human resources at 6 is when we have Mr. Butler join us. 7:30 is finance and operations, and 8:30 is just my evaluation, so you can do it at 8:30.
Yeah. Well, we'll work it out. We'll try to work some things out. But in terms of, I don't know. Maybe if you might want to meet to talk about what we talked about.
Right.
So
obviously most of our members are sitting here silent. So I think we can still meet as a group and deliberate on what we heard tonight and talk as a group. As I think that's the way we've worked up to this point.
So maybe you want to debrief as well. So I'm it's good to have a night off, believe me, folks. it is. But for us, what we will do is on the 25th, we'll discuss equity. And that's in this year, the board came up with four goals or issues we really wanted to address. And budget was one of them, equity was another, expulsions, which we'll talk about in a few minutes here, and then also some measurements that we wanted our district to come up with. So equity is one of our tasks, and I do believe that it's important that the board kind of grapple with this a little bit, but we will get you that information for your October 3rd meeting. Okay, we'll get that information to you. Ms. Cuevas, yes.
And it would be at least my hope that even any specifics that were stated here that are essential would be included in that. I mean, beyond what you all have provided,
sure.
I'm sure after you have a chance to review this, you'll have even more. But I guess I envision, I don't mind meeting at all on Monday, but I envision 10 minutes where we debate, or Tuesday, where we debate what was covered here.
Sure.
And then, you know, Jack will open his notebook and read his little trusty rules of order. I'm just thinking if we had some document, not necessarily for that meeting, but at least for the following meeting.
Yes, for your your October 3rd meeting,
that would be very helpful for us to keep our meetings productive.
Okay. Again, want to thank you very much for your hard work, your time, your effort, your energy, and we really appreciate that, and we'll get back to you on the 3rd. Board members, why don't we take a five-minute break, and we'll reconvene. Thank you very much again.
What does it take to be a good coach? I'm a different kind. And what is all this summertime activity in our school buildings? And who is Madison's newest assistant superintendent? Stay tuned and find out the answers to these questions and much more on this edition of Making the Grade. Making the Grade is a program that spotlights the work of the staff of the Madison Metropolitan School District. Hi, I'm Ian Hanna, Recreation Specialist for Middle School Programs at Madison School and Community Recreation.
And I'm John Probst, Adult and Youth Sports Supervisor here at MSCR. When you think of coaches in the Madison Metropolitan School District, the first thing that comes to mind are probably football, basketball, baseball, and the like. But did you know there are other kinds of people who lend their coaching talents to students in the district and to go on to become champions of a different kind?
We're talking about things like math teams, chess teams, and science teams that compete with other school teams and have racked up a pretty impressive record for Madison schools in those competitions, too.
Okay, sit down.
I first got started because my son, who was a sophomore in high school, started to play in this club for the existing coach. And I had played many years prior to that and had stopped playing for more than 20 years. And when he started to play, it seemed logical that I would simply do it with him.
Thank you for joining us for the 11th Annual African American History Challenge.
African American history is something I specialized in college, so I knew a lot about it. It's very interesting to me. Well, I got started because when I came on 3 years ago to Wright Middle School, the current coach was getting married and didn't have the time to do it, and he asked me if I would step in for him, and I did, and I just have been doing it ever since.
I got involved with Science Olympiad when I was a student in high school. My senior year of high school, my high school physics teacher asked if I would consider being part of the Science Olympiad team about a week before the competition. And so I jumped on the team and tried a couple events and really enjoyed the competition and did pretty well in a couple events. Then my first year teaching, the school that I was at had an opening for a Science Olympiad coach, and so I took over the team at that time and enjoyed it very much that year. And after that, I moved to the school that I teach at now. And they were also trying to start a program, and so it was a good fit for me. It was something that I had some experience with in a couple different ways, and so we started a team, and I've been working with it ever since.
I coached soccer for about 10 years or so, and it was interesting. Chess is, you know, obviously much more cerebral and is a more individual sport, so it is fundamentally different from team sports. Which have a lot of, you know, positive aspects under them. But chess is really, it's kind of a form of intellectual wrestling. And it's, you know, you're there kind of all alone. And if you make a mistake, you die. So it's, helping kids to work through all of that, learn the game, but then also learn the difficulties of competition at an individual level is what really distinguishes chess from team sports.
You know, for the chess coach, it's very specific because you cannot do anything during the game. So a soccer coach can say, go to the left, make adjustments. Chess coach has to prepare before the game, explain mistakes afterwards. But during the game, we're helpless, so we're just there. And it's very painful to watch your students make mistakes.
The thing that's unique about the History Bowl is that it's academic. It's not sports. It's a matter of it tests the ability to memorize obscure facts, things that you're not necessarily going to learn in a classroom setting.
The Science Olympiad is different in the sense that it's a chance for students to compete in an academic competition that's different even than other academic competitions in the sense that it's not trivia, it's not a science quiz bowl, it's not a science trivia contest. It's a real science competition that involves science processes and a lot of engineering and building and design. It provides a chance for a lot of our science students to hone some of their skills, to go very far in depth into specific areas that they wouldn't otherwise get a chance to spend a lot of time working in. And I think even aside from that, it's also very important for some of these students as a social activity. The students that we have enjoy each other's company very much and just have a chance to work with students who are similar to themselves on problems that they share in common and that they enjoy, things that they wouldn't otherwise have a chance to do.
The kids, when they work with me, they give up their lunch, which is their only free time, their only play time. They give that up for a couple months. And if we win, they end up giving it up for 4 months. And that just shows me dedication, that they're dedicated to doing this.
I've learned how willing kids are to work on interesting problems that they find exciting and how hard they're willing to work. It's really every year that we have a group of kids that finds a couple projects within the Science Olympiad program that they want to work on, and we're able to maintain more or less an open door policy. We have supplies stored for them, and after school they come in and just work, and it's a very independent thing on their part, and the amount of time that they're willing to devote and the amount of effort that they're willing to devote to this is just incredible.
Most recently, they've won the state championship for the third year in a row and the sixth year out of the past eight. And they went to the National High School Championship and finished third in the nation, which is as high as a Wisconsin team has ever finished going back for about 30 years.
I think all in all, it's a positive contribution because the discipline and logical thinking outweighs the time commitment.
And our champion for 2005 is Wright Middle School.
For three out of the last 4 years, Wright has won the African American History Bowl. Two out of the 3 years I've been doing it, we've won. I also did the high school for the first time. I did West High School, and we took second place at the high school level. So we've had a lot of success. And we finished, when I went 2 years ago to Las Vegas to the national convention, we finished around third place at the national convention.
The second year that we had a full team, we played sixth in the state, and we moved up the year after that to third, and then finally this past year we were second at the state competition. So it's been very exciting for the kids in the program to have it be so successful so quickly, and I think that it's helped sort of maintain and boost the program a little bit, the fact that...
right, we will reconvene again. Our next item on our agenda, number 5, is data related to the number of students who have been expelled from the MMSD from 1994 to 95 to 2005-2006, Board Policy 4045, regarding the expulsion of students and other processes and procedures that apply to students when they are recommended to be expelled from school. I will turn the meeting over to the superintendent. Superintendent?
Thank you, Ms. Mathiak.
Mr. President, I would like to take a few minutes to pick up on the end of the equity discussion because I'm very concerned. I was not here when the board created the task force. I think it's doing an excellent job, and my comments have nothing to do with the task force per se. It does seem to me that it's going to be a while until we have the sort of feedback that we're asking them for. In the meantime, I'm very disconcerted that we have a policy on the books regarding equity that doesn't appear to be enforced. Therefore, I wish to make a motion that until such time as the current equity policy is either removed by the board or amended, that we direct the superintendent and his staff to implement and enforce that policy.
I don't believe that was the agenda item on our agenda.
Clarence is out in the audience.
I don't know if our attorney would like to address that or.
I agree. I don't think it's on the agenda. I don't think the public. I don't think from the agenda the public would have contemplated that you would be taking action on the policy that's on the books. I think they were anticipating an interim report from the equity committee that you established to look at ways and means that the district could more effectively provide equity to students, and it wasn't to deal specifically with the policy that you have in your policy manual. So I think the motion is out of order.
I have to say that I would be absolutely stunned if the public had issues with the board voting to implement a policy that's already been on the books for many years. This is simply an affirmation of will.
I'd like to move forward in our meeting. It's quarter. No, I
ruled it out of order.
Yeah, it is out of order.
Well, the ruling of the president is itself challengeable by a vote of the board. If I move to overturn your ruling, because I think it is germane when we have noticed that we're discussing the equity policy. I believe Ms. Mathiak's motion is germane, and I ask for the opportunity for the board. I move to overturn that ruling.
Okay. Any discussion on that? Joe and Ms. Rivera.
Well, I'd like to ask Clarence to clarify if this is an issue of the law itself or overturning the president's ruling, and also to clarify whether you can overturn the law itself and if that requires a suspension of the rules. If he ruled it out of order, is that the law ruling it out of order or the president? And if so, what is lawfully required to overturn that ruling?
The law says that you have to provide a notice to the public of what it is you're going to talk about. I don't think you provided that notice. So I'm talking about the law. It just so happens that it interfaces with the rules of Robert's Rules of Order, which has to do with whether or not a motion that's made is germane to the subject matter. So they're interrelated. But what I was talking about was the law, not whether or not Mr. Winston's advisory, his ruling was based on Robert's Rules of Order or not. My opinion was the legal opinion.
So in order to act on this motion tonight, would that require a suspension of the rules or an overruling of Mr. Winston?
You can't suspend the rules to violate the law. The suspension of the rules allow you to change items on the agenda, which are already noticed properly, presumably. The reason that I have problems with this motion was that the interim report of the equity task force doesn't reference the present policy. And for that reason, I think it's not really germane, and it's not really consistent with what the law really requires. Ms. Roberts.
I would withdraw my motion to overturn if the President would assure me that this topic will be noticed next week in a way that would allow Ms. Mathiak to bring forward a motion.
Well, I mean,
we're going to discuss the same topic next week.
Well, I believe we've discussed with the Equity Task Force what we as a board would like to give them the charge to do, giving them some further notice of what we'd like, some more clarification, some more notice.
That was your statement so far, but you'll be setting the agenda. And what I'm saying is I'd be willing to withdraw this challenge to my motion challenging your decision if next week you would notice up whatever it is you've just described you want to notice and notice it in a way that satisfies our attorney's objections tonight so that Ms. Mathiak's motion would be germane on Monday the 25th.
No, I will not do that. Ms. Kudzu.
I mean, unless I'm grossly mistaken, there has never been a motion by this board to suspend the implementation of that policy. And I guess the failure, I mean, whether the President wants to put it on the agenda for a future meeting or not, I don't think the President can, and I don't think that's what you're trying to do, but I don't think you can direct the administration not to implement the policy. And the board has never instructed the administration not to implement the policy. So I guess my understanding would be if there is no action to the contrary, the administration should be implementing that policy. And, I mean, I guess that would be...
I think that's correct. There's been no action taken to suspend the policy. It has been the practice, however, not to implement the policy. But I think your point's well taken, that any policy that the board has on the books should be implemented and enforced.
And I think it's clear from the discussion you're hearing, at least from some of the board members, is that they expect the policies on our books to be implemented. So unless there's action to the contrary to that, I guess that should be the expectation.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, we have a equity task force that is looking and studying at this information. And to me, I think we need to hear them out first. Otherwise, why did we have a task force, Superintendent?
Mr. Winston, this places me in somewhat of a bind here. Since the method that we have used to implement equity in the district is the equity resource formula, the actual policy itself requires the superintendent to review schools that are 15% or more above the district average. That's all it requires. It does not require a change in resources. It doesn't require anything else. It just requires that they be reviewed. Our method of implementing that, I believe, is the equity resource formula, where every single school in the school district is reviewed statistically for the needs that they express based on poverty, based on mobility, based on special education students, based on ELL students. Those are reviewed and resources applied to those who have the most need. So now, absent that, I don't know what else to do, I guess, at this point, without some guidance on some other way to distribute the resources.
Ms. Mathiak, then Mr. Vang.
I realize that these are unusual circumstances, and I apologize for putting a whole bunch of people on the spot on this one. What concerns me deeply is that before my oldest child, who's now 20, entered school, I was hearing discussions about, well, what happens if the composition of the school changes? Oh, don't worry, there's an equity formula. So if you get more kids with exceptional needs, you get more resources. And that has been said over and over, including when I was a citizen advisor to the long-range planning committee a couple of years ago. And I said, if you change the boundary lines and you end up creating radical shifts in the populations in the schools, what happens to the schools? Do they get resources to deal with the new composition of their schools. And I was assured that the resources follow the kids. Hence, I was absolutely stunned to hear discussion by people on this stage who were on the board and in administration at that time saying, oh, no, we haven't really, you know, we don't really do that. I asked for the vote because I would like clarification whether this policy is, in fact, something that, that this district, if it isn't a policy that we care about enough to make sure that it's being implemented, then it ought not be on the books because we're promising people things we're not delivering. If we care enough about it, then let us affirm our commitment to equity insofar as it is stated in that book. We don't know when the task force is going to come back to us. From tonight's discussion, if they had something for us to work on in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that would be fine. But in the meantime, for some period of time, and God knows how long it's been, maybe always, what I as a citizen took to be an equity policy was not in play. Therefore, I am asking that we make an affirmation either that we support this and we want it implemented or we are willing to let it go by the wayside. But that's not unreasonable. It has nothing to do with interfering with the Equity Committee's task force. It's simply about affirming that the policy as it exists is something that the board wants to see implemented. I think Ms. Cubs is right. Mr. Sherrod has clearly agreed with her interpretation, but there's a gap between the interpretation and the practice, and that's what's bothering me.
And I think that's something that we need to discuss as a board. I think we need to really grapple with that, but not here and now. I do believe we do. I think we owe it to our community, and that is something that in terms of the board is said in terms of its goals for this year, and I will hold true to that. And we will have discussions, and not just one night, several, because I do believe it has repercussions throughout the district. One moment. Superintendent, are you going to speak to this, or?
I'm going to speak to this.
Okay.
I'm also going to speak to this.
Okay. I'm going to have Mr. Vang speak first, then, and then you, Superintendent.
I have a couple of questions. One, I just want to ask the perhaps the superintendent, and in your mind, are we on implementing the equity policy as we have it on as we have it right now? In your opinion, are we doing that? Just a yes or no.
Well, it's not a yes or no answer, Mr. Vang. The equity policy that is on the books requires the superintendent to review schools who are 15% or more above the district average for poverty.
Yeah,
okay, that's all it requires.
And are you, based on that, are you doing that?
We are reviewing every school based on poverty and other factors. Every single school is reviewed and resources are assigned accordingly. Where the disconnect is the policy itself doesn't have any way of distributing those resources. It doesn't even require you to distribute the resources. Mm-hmm. All it requires is for me to look at it if it's 15% or more over. The way we distribute the resources is the equity resource formula. And we do distribute more resources based on those factors of student need that were demonstrated statistically when we evaluated what factors in our district affect the achievement of kids. So that's why it's not a yes or no answer, because
I think it,
do I look at just the top 15%? No. We look at all the schools based on their needs.
I'm not asking for a long explanation. I think about the way you explained it, it seems that you're trying your best to follow the policy.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that whether or not, you know, I agree with the motions or not. I just want to think if you answer no, you're not doing anything right now because you don't have a direction, then I would answer differently. But it seems that you're trying your best,
absolutely,
given the policy and your interpretation of the policy and implementation there. Mr. President, I would agree with Ms. Roberts that, and personally, I don't think that I am ready to commit more time tonight because we do have a very important issue that we're going to discuss, suspension and expulsion. But at the same time, I would like to